You're not going to want to miss this episode of the AI Show, where we go from model to actual deployment.
Deployment? What are you, an IT guy?
What do you mean?
This is a REST API in the cloud using microservices, Docker containers, with the magic of just right-click in Visual Studio Code, and you get the power of Azure.
Come on. I was there, and now I also want to watch it, too. You're not going to want to miss it. See you then. Hello and welcome to this episode of the AI Show, where we're going to take a look at going the last mile, because I feel like every machine learning demo, by the way, we're here with Chris again. Chris Lorne, how are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing, Seth?
Good. I feel like every machine learning demo, like, and there's the output, and then magic happens, and here's this cool software that someone built with it. I feel like there's like this huge gap of like model to doing something useful. And the Visual Studio Code Tools for AI had this whole other set of things that I wanted you to show us. So I thought we'd get into how to actually take the output of a machine learning program and make it something useful. What do you got for us?
Sure, absolutely. So you're right that most of the blog posts out there are like, and now you've trained your model. Congratulations.
Magic.
Now, in reality, you want to take that model and put it in, say, a Docker container, put it on Azure Kubernetes cluster, load balance it across a bunch of machines so that it can scale to your website, web service, whatnot.
Sure.
But most data scientists don't necessarily have the expertise of building a cluster of machines and putting it in a Docker container and blah, blah, blah. And there's not as much good documentation on how to do that.
Or they might care. They might know how to do it. They just don't want to. It's like, I don't like doing yard work.
Absolutely.
Some people do. I usually call them and say, hey, I have some fun stuff for you to do. And here we have some fun stuff for data scientists to do without having to think about it.
Absolutely. Cool. So I'm going to show you how we can just right-click, create a cluster, and then right-click and deploy your model. And pretty much that simple.
Cool. Let's do it.
Cool. So again, we're going to score our local trained model. In our last session, we actually trained a TensorFlow model.
Cool.
We logged all the key metrics to Azure Machine Learning, and we uploaded the model to Azure Machine Learning so that we can keep track of all of our models as well.
Cool.
But again, I like to debug, refactor my code on my local machine, make sure everything's good before I deploy it.
Awesome.
Right? So I'm going to just load up some data, and I'm going to run that data through the model to determine whether the model is actually good. So this is basically just like running some test cases through.
So it's basically like scoring or inferencing type thing.
That's right. And so we can see this is the type of data that we're working with. And then you'll see down below, we can see that I've actually scored the model here. You can see that overall it's about a 96% accuracy. We see that like this should have been a 5, but it predicted a 6. Like
it's not
always perfect, especially with my handwriting. It's pretty hard.
Of course.
Right. So now we're going to go ahead and take this model, and we want to deploy it to the cloud.
Okay.
Right. So we're going to go over and look in the Azure activity bar here, and we can see that I had registered this model, right? Now, how do I do that?
Oh.
We register the model by right-clicking. We register, we give this a name. So we'll call it Seth's model.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go ahead and select the model folder in this case. Sometimes a model is just a single file, but sometimes it's an entire folder, right? And so we'll go into the outputs, and we'll select the model folder. And we'll select that. Now I can add some tags and some description and that sort of stuff if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll go ahead and just click Finish.
Cool. And so what this is doing is this is taking the output, because the output was always available in the experiments, right?
That's right.
It's loaded in there. So what is the difference between the output being in the experiments area versus now being in the models area? And why would you discriminate between the two?
Sure. So a lot of outputs of an experiment are not models. They're like log files. They're maybe images if you create like an area under the curve type of chart,
sure,
something. And so often also you'll try something many times. Like the scientific method is just guess and check,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so you'll tweak your code. You'll run a bunch of different versions of the experiment, try it over and over and over again. And then once you got one that you like,
oh,
then you register that one.
It's like promoting a model to like, this one does not stink, and this one we want to keep, and we want to keep a track of it, a description. Are there versions for these things too?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you can see that this is stored with Seth model colon one. So we're just showing the version number.
Okay.
And so if we added another one, then there would be a version two and a version three, et cetera.
I see.
Both from the Python SDK, you can get the list of models and you can see by name and by version, mm-hmm. Or you can see them listed here in the tree control as well.
And that's awesome because now you'll have like this whole like storage place of saving the actual good outputs of, because you might be doing like several different models because you're a very sophisticated AI shop that's run a bunch of models. You can have them all in there and all the versions with description and text.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. So now what do you do once you've registered this model and you want to actually deploy it to Azure?
See, that's where the dark box, black box thing is, right? It's like, I don't know. Like, usually that's the part where people align. I feel like we're going to be here a while, so maybe you can help me see how you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing is we want to take this model and put it into a Docker container, where we want to create an image, you know, that, and that image is then deployable across a bunch of machines,
sure.
Right? Now, we could then take that Docker container and either we could create a whole Azure Kubernetes cluster that is, you know, persistent and long running, and that's how we would use that in a production environment. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to show you how to spin up an Azure Container Instance.
Oh, cool.
Which is just kind of something lightweight for testing. It's, you know, only available for a short period of time, but it's really, both of them are really easy to create.
Cool.
So if you wanted to create an Azure Kubernetes cluster, you could simply right-click on the compute node, say, create my Azure Kubernetes service. You could give that a name. And then you could select your VM size. So if you wanted to run something with a GPU, you absolutely could. For inferencing, that's not always necessary.
Right.
And so you could use any one of the standard VMs.
Got it.
However, because we're going to show you how to use the Azure Container Instance, you don't have to like pre-create the cluster and have it ready all the time. We're just going to deploy it right away. So I'm going to take this model that I registered. I'm going to right-click. And then I'm going to go ahead and just deploy a service from registered model. So this is going to kind of skip the step of, hey, first create a Docker image, mm-hmm. wait for the image to get built for me, and then deploy my image to a service. Mm-hmm. Rather, I'm just going to go straight to the end and do both in one fell swoop.
Got it.
So I'm going to deploy the service from the registered model. I'm going to go ahead and create an Azure container instance. I'm going to give this a name. And then we can go ahead and select the execution script. So this is the Python script that I would use for scoring my model.
And this is where I was starting to get, and while you're looking for it, this is where I was starting to get confused because the model file, like let's just say it's a frozen protobuf file or an Onyx file or PTH from PyTorch, basically that file isn't enough to do anything. You have to load the file up, get some input, run it through, and then get some useful output, and that's what the scoring file is.
That's right. And so I'll go ahead and show you, while we're waiting for this to deploy, I'll show you exactly how that code actually works as well.
So what else do you need when you're actually deploying these things? I feel like just having a scoring file and the model file shouldn't be enough. Do you tell it like what pip things to install, or how does that work?
You absolutely do. You can and you should. There's two possible things you can do. You can provide your own Docker file if you already know how to create one. I'm going to go ahead and just cancel out of that because that's an optional thing. If you don't have one already, that's totally cool.
Okay.
But then you can select this conda file path. This is something that is going to actually use a YAML file configuration to specify the shape of the environment by loading the different libraries and stuff in there. So I'm going to go ahead and select that right now. I'll show you what that looks like in a moment. And then you can optionally provide a schema as well. You could think of that as like a swagger definition.
For the input and output of the service.
It's not required though, so again, I'm just going to go ahead and skip that. And then you can create some tags and description, and so kind of describe what's going on here if you'd like to. But I'm going to go ahead and just click finish, because all that's optional again as well. And so now you can see in the lower left-hand corner, this is deploying the service. So this is going to do that two steps of create the image and create the service that I can call as well.
All right, so I have a lot of questions. You okay with that?
So I just skipped across a whole bunch of stuff. So okay. Absolutely.
So the first question is, can I see the scoring file so that people can get a sense for what a scoring file is? And then can I look at the YAML file next?
Yep.
And then maybe you can describe those things.
Absolutely. So I'm going to show you the scoring file first. Mm-hmm. Now, the scoring file simply uses TensorFlow, because again, this is a TensorFlow model.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and load that up. And then I'm going to find the nodes in the graph that are relevant, and I'm going to run it. Okay. So you've got to have your init function and your run function.
Got it. And so those are required for you, but you could have a whole bunch of other things as well.
Yep. The rest is your own code. And so if you were loading like a scikit-learn model, for example, your code is going to look different. But you still have to have the init and the run.
I see. And so once you define this, you can literally, because one of the things I was worried about is when magic things happen, I get worried that like, wait a minute, but what if I want to score my file a different way.
Yeah, sometimes you need to do a little bit of pre-processing on the data or something like that. Then you can absolutely put any of that business logic in.
Like, for example, if you just normalize the data or offset it by the mean, you need to do that as the data is coming in. You can totally do that in the scoring file.
Absolutely.
Cool. And so now the YAML file, let's talk about that. What does that look like?
So it's, again, super simple. It's just a little config file specifying, I want to use Python. I want to install Azure Machine Learning so I can keep track of my model. Mm-hmm. And then I want to use TensorFlow. And here I'm just using a specific version of TensorFlow.
Just so it's repeatable and it works the same way.
Yep.
So this is basically just defining, like, if I had a clean machine that had Python on it, this is what I would pip install to make it work.
That's right.
Fantastic. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to ask is, like, you talk a lot, and now we're going to get into sort of the back end and how it works. You talk a lot about containers, you talked a lot about Docker files, and you talked about this thing called Azure Container Instance.
Yep.
Where are these things living? Like, where are they? Like, it's kind of been abstracted away, but I want people to understand where these things are.
Sure, absolutely. So when you create your Azure Machine Learning workspace, remember the workspace is this top level thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's like a box of stuff for machine learning. And when you create it, we automatically create a blob storage account, so you can load all your data there if you want to. We create things like the Azure Container Registry. Then that'll keep all of your Docker images there.
I see. So in the background, we have this Azure Container Registry that's sitting there and creating like these images for you to either run experiments or to do inferencing.
Yep. So and we have a service. So when I said right click and deploy the service from my model, well then the service will go through the process of compiling like that YAML config file and such that I gave it, and it'll generate the Docker image. It'll put that Docker image into the Azure Container Registry, and then it will create the Azure Container Instance and take it from the Azure Container Registry and put it on the Azure Container Instance so that it's actually runnable.
So is like Azure Container Instance a service I need to subscribe to, or do I have to tell it which Azure Container Instance to run it in, or does it just happen?
It just happens. Oh. So all as part of the Azure Machine Learning workspace, then it's associated with things like the region in Azure and all that kind of cloud stuff that you don't necessarily know when you're just like writing code on your local machine. And so just by saying, yes, please give me an Azure Container Instance, we just do the right thing and provision it.
I see. So this is a really nice way of just getting something out super fast. If you want to have more fine-grained control, you would attach a compute that targets like Kubernetes, and then you could go through the whole process of creating your own images and then moving to deployment into the Kubernetes cluster, which is more fine-grained control.
Yep, and you can still get that full fine-grained control from within Visual Studio Code as well by, again, right-clicking, create your compute, create your Azure Kubernetes service, and then when you specify you can provide your own Docker file, as I showed you earlier, or skip over that and use the default from Azure Machine Learning. So you can have as much fine-grained control as you want, still with the power of kind of right-clicking inside Visual Studio Code.
Cool, cool. And so now that this is all done, it'll go to this deployment area. Is that right?
That's right. And so you can see it's taking a little bit of time to actually deploy the service. I've got the image now. So this is the Docker image itself.
Oh, I see.
And so now that showed up. And so you can right click on here and say you can view the image properties, and you can see, okay, well, where is it? And you can see that it's been uploaded, it gets gzipped automatically, and you can see the Azure Container Registry path right there automatically.
And it's also got the tag for the version. That's so that right. Later on, if the devs like want to do some kind of Azure DevOps pipeline, they could just pull from the container registry.
Absolutely. As if,
and then that goes right into the dev process that the data scientist usually doesn't want to think about.
That's right.
That's really cool. That's cool. All right, and then the other question I had is, like, how long is this going to take?
You know, usually creating the Azure container, the Docker image and spinning up the Azure container instance usually takes somewhere around 5 to 8 minutes, kind of depending.
So, well, why don't we just like speed this video up?
Sure.
And then we could just like wait.
That sounds awesome.
Because all the videos we always make, people are like, and then you see like this huge jump cut where like he's wearing like a different shirt, right? And I'm wearing shorts, like, and just like that. I feel like we do that too much.
But so I would like it if you pulled the turkey out of the oven now.
That's true. Like sometimes they're like, but we've already done one. You have already done one, but I want people to get a sense that this is taking a while because it's literally creating a Docker image for you.
That's right.
It's putting it into ACR.
That's right.
And then it's pulling that out and putting it into an Azure container instance.
That's right.
All right, so let's just wait for it and you and I can just chat about stuff.
Cool.
All right. Okay, so we're going to slow down right here and tell us what you're looking at. You just did a right click and you looked at something. What were you looking at?
Absolutely. So the service that we deployed is now almost available.
Okay.
Like it right now, you can see that the deploy service is still running.
Okay.
However, I can see it listed here.
Okay.
And so if you right click and you view service properties, then you can get all the details of the property, like which Azure region it's running in and that sort of thing, okay. And also which Docker image it's using. Again, the Docker image name and version number, because right. We have full lineage now,
from
the model to the image to the service. But you can see that the state is transitioning.
Okay.
So it's still spinning up the compute, and we don't yet have the scoring URI. The scoring URI, that's the IP address and the endpoint, the REST API, we're going to call to actually predict the handwritten images.
Awesome. So we're just going to wait a little bit longer if that's okay. We'll have some more drinks, have more chat about stuff.
That's right. Oh, actually, no. You know what?
What? What?
I think it's now ready.
Oh, my goodness.
So we can see that the scoring, the state, the service is healthy, and I've got a scoring URI. So let's go ahead and...
I feel like we need to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's too exciting. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and grab my scoring service file. So I'm going to go ahead. I've got two of these. So I'm going to go ahead and test this kind of the more complicated way, just to show you that I can load up a bunch of data. I can get the web service URI. Again, this is the model that I use, so I'm just going to grab the web service that uses this model that I deployed. And then I'm going to use that URI to actually call down below.
Well, that's actually cool because
service.run.
Because what's happening is you're actually calling it by model name.
That's right.
Which means that it's accessing the model, which knows the image, which knows the deployment.
That's exactly right.
That's cool.
Cool. Because that way I can change the name of the service, I can change the name of the image. I don't have to remember all that stuff.
Cool. So now, like within our code, we're basically doing it by model, which to us is important, but then all the other stuff around it is going to be filled in.
That's right. So I can go ahead and I don't know what I just did there. Let's go ahead and run this. We can see down below that it's actually loading this up, loading up the data. It output all the different results here.
Okay.
And so we can see that it's properly scored them, which is fantastic.
But now this is just like I don't want people to misunderstand, because we did this before, but now it's doing it against the actual service. Is that right?
So I just repeated myself. Yes. So I loaded up with a local model, and to show you that we could do it. Uh-huh. And now this time it's actually using the service.
Cool.
And so just running this again, we can see I tried with just a different random set of images, and actually found one that actually didn't work properly. And so I just color coded it as red. So you can see again, the model's not perfect. It's pretty good. But so I can compare based on the labeled set of known test data that I have, mm-hmm. it should have been a 2, but it actually validated as a 0.
This is awesome. So let's X out of that part. So if you wanted to do like the full Kubernetes deployment, what you would do is you would take a model and right-click and create an image, give it the scoring file, give it the YAML file, and all the other stuff that were optional.
Yeah.
And then you would have this image, and then you could deploy that image to the Kubernetes cluster.
Yeah. Well, I do have the image now because I can just use the same image that I created here.
I see.
And I could simply right-click this and say deploy service from image. And then I could select my Azure Kubernetes cluster that I had created.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. We've learned all about how to go the last mile with your machine learning models into an actual production environment. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for watching again. How to go the last mile. You've just learned all about that here on the AI Show. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.